entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Everybody, good evening from Accent On, LA Talk Radio. I'm Karen. This is Jerry.
Hello.
And our guest, Mikey.
Hello.
We are here in beautiful LA. The sun is just setting. In a couple of weeks, I think we're going to be here in the dark at 6 p.m.
Daylight savings time is coming up.
It is, right? In a couple of weeks. Ilona says hi to everybody. Ilona, we miss you. We miss you, Natasha, as well.
Hi, Ilona. Hi, Natasha.
Yes, we love you. So I'm really excited about today's program because I think we're going to talk about something that's really special and what Mikey does, and she's going to talk about it in a minute. That's really, really special and just so heartwarming that there's people out there like you that do what you do. And I'm just always in awe of you. We met Mikey about a year and a half ago, and she's just an incredible, incredible woman. And the things that you do and what you've gone through and the reasons that you do what you do is just mind-boggling to me. And
yes.
It's just really...
Thank you.
And I agree wholeheartedly, too.
Thank you.
But we've both known her for a year and a half, and she's an amazing lady.
Okay. We'll get to that in a second. So this is Jerry. He's my husband and partner in business and life. We have three businesses together. We work together. We live together. We raise our cats together. And we have a really great life, and we're really happy to be here with you every Monday from 6 to 7 for the next few weeks. And so, Jerry, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what your segment today is going to be about?
Well, hello. I'm Jerry Kane, and I am an estate planning and special needs planning expert. And, of course, today we're going to be talking about special needs planning and special needs trusts and how to protect your loved one with special needs to provide a lifetime of advocacy and care for them.
Awesome.
So that's what we're going to be chatting about.
That's great. Our viewers have seen you before here quite a few times. Those of you who haven't, Jerry's an estate planning attorney. I forgot what it's called.
Special. yes, I'm a special attorney, and I help my clients who want to plan for their loved ones who have special needs.
No, so. But what is the test that you took?
I'm a certified specialist.
Thank you. I just knew it.
Estate stress and probate law.
So. Yes, he's a certified specialist. So that's really... How many percentage of estate planning attorneys are certified specialists?
That's a good question. I would probably say it's about less than 1% in...
Around the country?
In California.
In California.
Yeah, I don't know what other states are, but it's somewhere between 1 and 5% probably.
Fantastic.
And I've been practicing for 26 years as well.
Right. Where can we find you?
Right here. If you want to find me now, or if you'd like to find me later, you could find us at, give us a call at 818-905-6088, or you can find us on the web at estplan.com.
The law offices of Gerald L. Kane.
Correct.
Awesome. So yes. We'll get back to you towards the end of the show, but now
perfect.
I want to talk with Mikey. So, Mikey, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Mikey Flaherty. I started Swim with Heart 9 years ago, and I swam at USC. I'm a USA swimmer, and I'm just really excited. Thank you for having me on your show.
So, Swim with Heart, you are a nonprofit.
Nonprofit, yes.
And you teach kids with disabilities how to swim.
Correct.
So, that's pretty amazing because, when I think of kids with disabilities, I mean, that the probabilities of them drowning, they can't scream if they need help, or they don't have the ability to get themselves to float. So why don't you tell us about that and how all that began?
So there are, like, one of the first things I do, depending on the kiddo's disability, is I make sure that they're what we call water safe. They'll be able to escape a difficult situation. So we teach them how to get out of the pool, even if it doesn't look the same way you and I would get out of the pool. So if their legs don't work, we make sure they're strong enough, or our goal is always to help them become strong enough to remove themselves from a dangerous situation. So we work with all types of disabilities. From autism is the most prevalent that I work with. But we also have rare chromosomal disorders. Like, we have three kids with CHARGE, which is one in 10,000. CHARGE syndrome. Yeah.
What is that?
It's a syndrome that affects all five of the major organs. So their heart, their eyes, their ears. We also have kids with Angel syndrome, spina bifida, cerebral palsy, and just Down syndrome. It doesn't matter what the special needs is. We work with them.
Wow.
Wow.
So the organization, again, is Swim with Heart.
Correct.
And how did you get involved? How did you start it?
I was working for a few other organizations, and they were trying to have us teach swimming. But also in the end, for recreation, like, they would say, play basketball in the water. And I'm like, but we're swimming. Like, can't we swim, like, do a swimming game like Marco Polo? Or so those companies, I just always knew, sadly, in my head that I could do it better. But I never wanted to own my own company. But it just evolved that I had to start Swim with Heart, because it's a It is as if we are a competitive swim team, but our kids are just not at the competitive level. So they come in, they carry their own bags, they wear their own goggles. Like, no one, we help them learn how to be self-sufficient, especially in the pool.
That's amazing. And that's exactly what they need. This is exactly what.
Correct.
What they need.
Yeah.
So how did you get into it? Why swimming? Why?
Oh, I swam my whole life. It was, I took ballet until I was 12 and swimming until I was 12. They were the only two things I did not get kicked out of. And so,
were you a problem child?
I had a lot of energy. I understand a lot of what the kids are going through. But yeah, so swimming and ballet were the two things I didn't get kicked out of. And I excelled because I just wanted to, be number one. I had a very competitive drive. Not everyone has that competitive drive.
That's
but
true.
Yeah, I'm 5'4". And according to statistics, I shouldn't have ever been like a competitive athlete, but I just had more heart. A lot of the coaches, when they saw me swim, they said I swam with heart, and that they couldn't understand how I went so fast or how I finished the race, like, by a fingernail beating the person who was 6'2" next to me. But
were you swimming long distances?
Unfortunately, even though in my next life I plan to be a sprinter, but I swam a lot, like 200 fly, 400 IM, which
wow.
is
wow.
yeah.
That's really long.
The mile, nothing fun. Like 100 breasts and 100 fly on relays was the only fun that I got to have.
A mile? How many laps is that?
66, yeah.
Holy mackerel.
That's insane.
It was.
That's insane. I don't think I've swam 66 laps my entire life. So.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So what prompted you to I understand you didn't like what other people were doing, so you started Swim with Heart. It's a nonprofit, right? So let's start with this. You raise money, right, for this nonprofit so you can teach these kids.
Correct.
How can people contact you to help?
So if you go to our website, swimwithheart.org, you can make a donation, you can be on our board, you can call me and give me advice. If you have a donor that you think would be interested in donating, all of that, swimwithheart.org.
Swimwithheart.org. Great. And if somebody wants to bring their child in to either they have a question or they want to bring their child in because they hear that this is such an important program for their kid, how do they?
Usually a parent either emails me, Mikey@swimwithheart.org, or it comes sometimes through Yelp. But I'm only able to work with kids with special needs in the Santa Monica pool right
now.
So
you're working out of Santa Monica?
Santa Monica Swim Center, yes.
Santa Monica Swim Center. Now, I know that you also have an adult.
Yes, our adult program is inclusive. So we have adults with special needs alongside of triathletes, swimmers like myself, lap swimmers, recreational swimmers, swimmers that are swimming Alcatraz, swimmers that are doing the Nautica Malibu Tri. We have daily practices twice a day for them as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So you coach these people how to swim? What's like your favorite stroke?
My favorite, well, I'm a breaststroker, so breaststroke and butterfly were my best strokes.
I always love butterfly.
Yeah, that I still to this day hate backstroke, so.
Backstroke, I mean, you're not.
You can't see where you're going.
Yeah, you can't see where you're going, yes.
But breaststroke and butterfly are so different because breaststroke is more tame and butterfly is a more aggressive form, right?
Right, but the ungulation is similar. So
the up and down.
Yes.
Fantastic.
What does it cost to have somebody come in and be one of your clients and teach them how to swim?
So for the adult program, it's only $120 a month, and they can come up to 12 practices a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
it's like that's a good deal.
$10. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. And then
specific times where you meet or they come to the pool? And...
Right. We have specific practices. They're all on our website.
Okay.
So
swimwithheart.org.
Yes.
Okay. And for the kids?
The kids, it depends. We have a scholarship program for those that live below the poverty level. And we also have a normal, typical price as well. So the kids that are not on scholarship, the parents pay between $215, and I have kids that come as much as $750 a month. So it just depends on the level
of what they're doing.
And all the subsidies are provided through the donations, which is why everybody needs to reach out and donate to Swim.
Thank you, Jerry.
Yes. So what makes your program different, except for the basketball?
I think what makes our program different, we have very specialized teachers. Like Floyd is my behaviorist. He's been with me for 5 years, and he's going to kill me for saying this, but he actually started working for me, and he did not know how to swim. So he is an ABA-trained person. He has his degree in behavior, and he came and he's amazing. I call him a superhero because even though we're very different, I teach more from a swimming understanding and a swimming background. He teaches more from a behavior background. And if you watch us, we are aligned but completely going about it different ways. So it's fascinating. And then I have teachers as well that have been coaching and swimming and have college degrees that work with the kids too.
Right.
Everyone is a joy. Everyone is happy to be there. We don't have anyone who is like, what we do creates joy and it spreads. So it's wonderful.
I can imagine. I mean,
it
gives such a sense of accomplishment to the kids. I mean, to be able to do something like that, especially with kids with these disabilities.
Right. They're unstoppable.
Yeah.
They're unstoppable.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, did you ever have a thing where you had a kid and he or she just didn't get it?
We're so lucky in how we think that we don't teach like a cookie cutter way.
Okay.
We teach the best way that the child will learn. So honestly, we really haven't had anyone who didn't learn for us.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that for you is
really gratifying.
It's stimulating, and because you get to use all levels of your brain, so it's pretty phenomenal. Like I often struggle with trying to articulate the magic or the love, or some people say God. It just depends on who's watching you. But we definitely have a gift, all of us, and it's phenomenal. The kids, once you get them to believe in themselves, the parents, the grandparents, it's a ripple effect, and that's what I call my fundraising dinner. It's the ripple effect, because you have these people. I have grandparents who come and say, how did you do it? Like, what did you do? And I'm like, kick. Pull arms, like, you know, but there's an elation that comes from them. I guess one of the things is like always going to the doctor and having someone, you know, as a little kid, like I work with kids as young as 6 months old to as old as 84.
Wow.
So,
no longer a kid at 84.
Well, that's true.
It just depends on that.
It just depends. But, you know, you have these kids that, they're nonverbal, so they're sitting in these doctor's offices and they're hearing everything that's wrong with them. We don't talk about that. We tell them that they can do these things. We believe in them. I have a kid right now that wants to be an astronaut. He's nonverbal. He has CHARGE syndrome. He signs, and I'm the first one in line to back him up when he says he wants to be an astronaut. Let's do it. Let's go. How are we going to do it? So I think I always had coaches who believed in me, and I feel like it's an honor to give back in the way that coaches devoted their lives to coaching me. So
yeah, that's amazing. We've seen you actually in action, and we're not in the pool yet, although we do want to, we would love to come see you, like to see how you do it and the magic of it. But we've seen you outside the pool. Jerry and I went to your
the 4th of July parade. Yeah,
the 4th of July parade, exactly. And we saw how you were interacting with these kids that came, and it was truly magical, even outside of the pool, to see those interactions
and how the kids love you.
Yes.
How they. I know, I'm very strict, so it's always impressive that they love me as much as the.
They still love you.
Yes.
You know, sometimes that. When you give them that structure,
right.
they give you the respect, they give you the love, where if you let them run around and, you know,
correct.
You don't show them that caring, they won't give it to you. But we've seen you in action, so it's pretty awesome to see. So you were also voted for how many years in a row?
I think it's been 6 years.
6 years in a row. Best nonprofit in Santa Monica?
Most loved.
Most loved.
Yes. Nonprofit
in Santa Monica.
Correct.
And that happens every year?
Every February we vote. So,
Their votes.
I'll need your votes in February.
We will post that in February. Yes, because you should be.
Thank you.
For the next
Thank
year
you.
As well. And for the next, I don't know how many years, you should still be voted most loved nonprofit
Thank you.
In Santa Monica. And so I just want to make our viewers aware that this is a nonprofit organization, Swim with Heart. And this is the end of the year, and now is the time to donate, because
tax deductible donation.
It is a tax deductible donation, guys. So come on, it's November. It's almost November.
Yes, wait for Give Back Tuesday. Don't wait for December 31st. You can donate now.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
It's such a worthwhile cause. It's so, I mean, and if you don't believe, go to the Santa Monica pool. See what Mikey does.
We're always there. We're not there on Friday afternoons, but every other time we're there.
I can see that you're always there because you're so tan.
Thank you.
Yeah. Get those donations in now, and you'll be able to write them off on your, 2020 tax return. That's right.
2019.
Yes.
In 2020.
Yes,
the 2019 return for 2020. Yes.
On. It's a no-brainer to do that now.
Yeah.
And you have a yearly gala. Your gala was in September already. We attended. It was very moving. You talked about your story and how what you went through. And even though we've known you for a year and a half, I didn't know all these things. And it was so moving to me and how you began to work with these kids. So just thank you for that. Thank you for what you do in our community. Come on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Really, it's an amazing honor. It's an honor.
It's really amazing to have you in the community. So you're a high-level elite. You almost made it to...
Yes, I almost made the Olympic team, yes. So you have to place...
Is that a sore spot? Yeah. I not have brought it up?
No, you have to place first or second, and okay. I placed ninth. So I didn't get to try again. The top eight get to try again. And so... but I swam for NC2As, and I swam for USC, and it was amazing. The whole college experience, it was an honor. And you go to USC thinking all your dreams are going to come true, and the coaching level there is phenomenal. So, yeah, it was a tremendous experience.
That's crazy. I mean, you placed ninth in the country.
Yes. Yes.
That's phenomenal.
But you have to place first and second.
It doesn't, I mean.
Yes.
And the difference is mere milliseconds.
Yes.
It's not even seconds. It's milliseconds between the first, second, and ninth, 10th, 11th place.
Missed it by yeah. that much.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's dedication for, what'd you say, a 5'4"? 5'4"?
Yes.
Yeah.
Swimmer. So, I would like to say hi to Ilona. Ilona, we miss you.
Hi.
We said we miss you.
We said hi at the beginning, didn't
yes,
we?
Yes, but I wanted to do a little bit more than that and play Natasha's song. Natasha, if you don't know, is Ilona's daughter, and this is her... Natasha's one of my favorite singers. And
she's amazing.
Her voice is incredible, and I love the style of her music. And this is her second single from the album can't pronounce it, so from her second album. And the name of the song is Invisible Hero. So Natasha, Ilona, this is for you. We miss you.
Take a moment, catch my breath.
Thank you, Natasha, for that beautiful song. We are waiting already for single number 3. It's been a while since you released a single, so...
Get to work.
I think she's working really hard now in her new job in the UK, so... But we're waiting for it, so... there's one more question that I wanted to ask you before we move on to Jerry, and that is, what would you say to the parents of these kids that sometimes have, you know, they live with these kids, it's so difficult for them, and you help them, and you're helping them succeed. What would you say to the parents of these kids?
I always tell parents to trust their instinct. If they think that a caregiver or someone isn't right for their kid, then to definitely, their gut tells them more than anything. Also, with like having an attorney, if you're not getting what you need from your attorney, then, or a doctor or a caregiver or a teacher, I mean, there's so much fighting that has to go on that you're standing up for your child. So ask for help and don't be afraid to go with your gut.
That's great advice. And there is a lot of help out there in the community, and
create your own little network. I mean, some of these syndromes have their own little Facebook groups, and that is helping connect people where some charged kids didn't even know other charged kids existed, but there's a whole plethora across the world.
I've never heard of charge until you spoke of it, and the first time I heard of it was at your gala in September. I've never heard of that syndrome.
Yeah, me either.
And you deal with special needs families all the time, and you didn't hear about this. So yeah, I can see that, especially the ones that have more rare diseases or rare syndromes.
There are many Facebook groups that have the same common disability.
Right. Would you say charge is 1 in 10,000?
One in 10,000.
Yeah.
So there are three kids that live in Santa Monica. It's so rare.
Wow.
Much more rare than autism, which is now 1 in 57 or something?
No, it's actually 1 in 33 now.
1 in 33. Wow.
Depending on who you talk to.
Right.
So.
That's why it's called a spectrum, because it's so many different.
If you're classified, degrees. 1 in 33 have some degree of autism.
Correct.
And somewhere on the spectrum.
Wow. That's crazy. So, Jerry, let's switch gears a second and talk about some legal planning. So, let's start with a basic question.
Uh-huh.
What is a special needs trust? Who needs it? Why do they need it? What is it good for?
Well, that's a good question. You kind of have to understand the context of special needs planning, and that is that one of the focuses is trying to ensure that there's no loss of government benefits. A lot of times individuals are relying upon SSI and or Medi-Cal, and they don't want to lose those benefits. And those programs are what we call means-tested programs, which means if you have $1 over $2,000, you're automatically disqualified.
So you mean if the parents have $1 over $2,000, or if it's the child has it? So are you talking about the children, adult children? Can you clarify that?
In the parent's case, when the child is a minor, there's what's called parental deeming. So the parent's assets are deemed to the child, which in most cases means that the children can't qualify under traditional SSI and Medi-Cal rules, although there's expanded Medi-Cal now. When you're talking about an adult, somebody who's over 18, then it's their assets, so their individual assets.
Okay. So a special needs trust is...
So basically, think of a special needs trust as, it's kind of, trust sounds like a big scary word, but it's not. Just think of it as a box, and it's a special kind of box where you're going to put assets in, and that box is going to protect those assets and allow your child or your loved one to be able to still qualify for those necessary government benefits. And if you have $1 of SSI, you automatically get Medi-Cal. So the key is to never lose SSI, because SSI is linked to Medi-Cal, and that's what so many people are concerned about. Not that SSI in most cases is going to provide any kind of livelihood, because it's about $900, and who can live on $900 a month in California? Probably nobody. It's really that SSI is linked to Medi-Cal, and you want to ensure that you don't lose the Medi-Cal.
What does the Medi-Cal pay for?
Medi-Cal pays for many health programs and many healthcare benefits. And, you know, if you're getting Medicare too, it pays for anything that Medicare doesn't cover.
Okay.
So there's a lot of things that, Medi-Cal will cover. I don't know. Do you guys take Medi-Cal?
We do not take Medi-Cal, but I have kids that are on Medi-Cal. And Medi-Cal does pay for things like wheelchairs. I know that Medi-Cal pays for wheelchairs, which is like the biggest problem that kids that live below the poverty level.
Right.
Because wheelchairs are very expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically, then, a special needs trust protects the child from losing SSI and Medi-Cal.
Right. That's one focus.
Okay.
And a lot of times, many attorneys out there, including myself, will say that's not shouldn't be the main focus. Because can you tell me if Social Security and Medi-Cal are going to be here in 20 years?
No.
Nobody knows. So the focus really isn't protecting those benefits. It's designing a system that's going to provide advocacy and lifelong financial management for somebody who isn't able to do that for yourself. You know, right now, you are your child's advocate. You're making sure that they're protected. You're making sure that they're getting the right amount of assets that they need. But if you're not here, somebody has to take over that advocacy. And that's what that trust is designed to do. And it's the reason why most of these trusts that are set up by somebody who doesn't know what they're doing fail, because they're not designed to work for the next 50 to 100 years. They're not properly funded with the right assets. So if you yourself don't have the right assets, then we'll sit down with you and we'll design a financial plan to ensure that you've got the right assets in it. So, and also look at what are your child's needs for the next 50 to 100 years, so that there's enough assets in there to cover them for their entire lifetime.
So at what age should the child with disabilities be in order for their parents to set up a special needs trust?
Well, you know, the once you know your child has a disability, that's the time to start planning. So you are going to want to set up that special needs trust as soon as possible. And one of the reasons to do that is that if you do set up a special box now, we call that in legal terms a standalone third-party special needs trust, because it's your money. So you set it up now. What that does is it allows other family members, your parents, your grandparents, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, to be able to either gift assets to the child or leave assets to them when they pass away without affecting their government benefits. So that's a reason why you want to set it up as early as possible.
Okay. So what happens when the child becomes an adult, they turn 18, what's the next step for these parents?
Well, when a child turns 18, in the eyes of the law, guess what? They're a legal child, they're a legal adult.
So even if they have a severe disability and they can't take care of themselves.
Even if they can't, they're presumed competent at 18. So at 18, you no longer can make medical decisions for them. You
That's
no longer
scary.
Can get access to confidential medical records. And so what you have to do is you have to go to court and you have to establish what we call a limited conservatorship, which allows you to make those medical decisions for your child. And you can start this as early as 17 and a half. So you want to start it as at 17 and a half, so that when they turn 18, there's no gap in medical care. It also can ensure that you have all the other seven powers that you would like to have, such as being able to get confidential medical information or sign contracts on their behalf, or determine what kind of education they get, or whether they marry, or what kind of relations they have, marital relations and things like that, are all the different powers that you can ask for in a limited conservatorship.
You go to your attorney goes to court for you, and you establish, again, what's it called?
A limited conservatorship.
A limited conservatorship for those kids. And you have to do that before they turn 18, right? Because said when they turn 18, you can't make any more decisions for them.
Correct.
So you have to start the process how early?
Well, we recommend starting it at age 17 and a half.
Okay.
Because that'll be early enough to get everything in place. By the time that they're 18, the case can be heard.
Okay.
And on the day that they turn 18, there can be an order so that you can take over management at age 18.
Got it. So once they, you talked about setting up, one of the things is an advocacy group. So what does that include? What, how do you explain that to the parents? What is that?
When we're talking about designing a system of advocacy, what we're talking about is making sure, like you said, you know, that you have a team involved. And that team can consist of, somebody, a medical professional, a therapist, a psychiatrist.
Why not just have the family member say, okay, here's, they have a sister, they have a brother, they can take care of them. Why do I need all this big team that's going to cost money, mm-hmm. that maybe they're not going to have, or is going to deplete the assets in the trust?
That's one of the mistakes that a lot of parents make when they set up special needs trusts, is they say, well, you know, I've got one child who has a disability and their brother or sister is going to be the one who's going to manage their assets. Well, they have their own life. They're not going to really want to have to be burdened with having to take care of managing a trust in that way for their brother or sister for the rest of their lives. They're going to have their own lives. So not everybody's situation, you know, dictates this, but you want to look at every situation and say, maybe it's better off not making them the manager, what we call trustee, but instead we put them on to an advocacy panel. So basically that panel advises the trustee as to what kind of distributions need to be made. So they're still involved with making the decisions, but they don't have to actually manage the day-to-day management of the trust, how it's invested, where it's invested, having to write the checks out to the beneficiary. And
do you help the families make all these decisions? Because that seems something that could be really overwhelming mm-hmm. for a family.
Yeah,
so
we do.
If they come to you, do you help them make those decisions?
Of course, yes.
That's pretty impressive. So how can people find you, Jerry?
Well, they can find us. You can call our office at 818-905-6088 to schedule a consultation. And if you mention you heard us here on LA Talk Radio on Accent On, just mention that and we'll waive any consultation fee that we would normally charge.
That's great.
You can also find us on the web at EST, that's like a state, PLAN.com. And on there, we also have some free guides that you can download from our website that will provide you some additional information about the planning process for individuals who have disabilities or special needs as well.
So I know we hear this a lot, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I think our audience would like to know. So we hear this a lot. Oh, I can do this myself. Why do I need to hire an attorney? I don't need to pay this money to see an attorney, to go through all the hassle of seeing an attorney. Who mm-hmm. wants, really, between you and me, who wants to go see an attorney? I know I don't.
Right.
So what do you say to these families?
Well, you know, what I would say is we've already kind of touched on it. You know, you're going to make a lot of mistakes if you try to do this on your own. As you can see, it's a very complex area. You have to ensure that the trust is designed properly so that you don't lose those government benefits, and also, more importantly, is designed to provide that lifetime of advocacy and care, is well coordinated with your financial plan. And, you know, I'm also a financial professional, so I can help guide you onto what's the best way of properly funding this vehicle.
Okay, so you said the word funding twice now.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of people don't understand what that means. So what do you mean by funding the trust?
Well, what I mean is that you're going to look at your assets and your income. You're going to figure out what are your child's costs and what are their needs. Is it something that's going to continue for their lifetime?
Do they need my kids swimming lessons to learn how to swim?
Right. And is it something that's going to continue for their lifetime, or is it something that will be a short period of time? In the event, you know, somebody who has a more severe condition, possibly like Down's or what'd you call it?
Charge.
You know, are they going to need medical care for the rest of their life? I don't know if those things require medical care. So you're going to look at all those costs, and, you know, most people, when they look at that, there's going to be a shortfall. There's no way they're going to cover their child's costs because they're just super expensive, especially when you look at what it's going to cost for the next 30 to 50 years. So if you don't have enough assets or income, then we'll look at how can we create that, whether it's with life insurance or other types of investment vehicles that can properly fund the trust and also make sure that everything's well coordinated with the trust so that it all gets into the trust and doesn't go through the court process.
Okay. But you do have to go to court in order once your child turns 18. So that's a must. You can't do that by yourself. You have to go to the court to get that limited conservatorship.
Well, you don't have to. If your child has capacity, which means that they are able to make their own medical decisions, then your child's going to execute a healthcare power of attorney, giving you authority to make those decisions for them, and possibly a financial power of attorney, which allows you to manage their assets on their behalf.
Didn't you mention, though, that the court needs to decide if the child, you can say my child can make medical decisions for themselves? Is that enough?
You know, it's kind of a gray area. You know, to legally sign a document, you have to have capacity to contract. So if, you know, you feel that your child has enough capacity to understand what they're signing, if you're doing it on your own or if you work with an attorney, the attorney is going to determine, does this individual have enough capacity for me to be able to represent them? Then they can execute their own documents. Usually where the problem comes in is where somebody's challenging that, you know, another family member, for example, saying, no, there's no way they would make the decision to have you make medical decisions, for example.
Got it. Wow, this is confusing, crazy.
Yeah, but, you know, there's a lot of situations where you know there's no way your child is going to understand this. And, you know, your doctor or hospital is going to say, well, you know, there's no way they signed this document understanding it, and they may not rely upon it. So if you're at all concerned that that your child does not have capacity, then you better go to court and get a limited conservatorship.
Got it. Mikey, do you see these kinds of kids?
I do. So I have an adult program that some of the kids do have that conservatorship. Some of them are able to express themselves and vote. It just varies. We have all levels.
Sure.
So I've gone to court to testify on behalf of some of my kids that they don't have, like, for some reason, not Social Security. What is the other one?
Medi-Cal.
Denies them. So we have to go to court to fight Medi-Cal to prove that the child is not capable of making their own decisions. So it's complex.
Yeah.
Right. So some of your adults that come to SWIM have a limited conservatorship.
Correct.
Wow. So you understand the issues, too.
And I understand it, and I trust that the parents and the attorney are working in the best interest of the kids. So
you have to work in the best interest of the kids, because I mean, you're their advocate, as you said.
Sure.
Until another advocate can be,
well, you know, one thing I'll tell you, in a limited conservatorship there's several people involved. First of all, most individuals are a client, a regional center, so regional center is going to write a report. In every single case, an attorney is appointed to represent your son or daughter.
But that's when they're under 18.
Regardless.
Oh, it's regardless.
Well, no. You're going to do it. We're talking about a limited conservatorship.
Okay, so got it.
Somebody's appointed to represent them.
Right.
Also, the court appoints a court investigator, which is the eyes and ears of the court, to go out and report back to the court. So between both attorneys, the investigator, and the regional center report, everybody gets together and determines what's in the best interest of the child.
Isn't the investigator someone that goes to the house and doesn't actually see the kid or the person that needs a trust? Because that's usually when I've had to go to court, when the
the probate investigator didn't actually see them face to face.
Well, they just saw them in the home. They didn't see them outside of the home. So.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's been my experience.
Sure.
Yeah, they'll usually come to the home because that's where the child's going to be.
Right.
To establish that.
It's always a case-by-case basis. I think if the investigator thinks one way, but the attorney representing that individual thinks the other, depending on the situation, the attorney's appointed to represent them. So if the attorney says, this is in their best interest, I would think the judge would rely upon that more.
Very interesting. And we need to take care of these kids, these people. As you said, so many now have, you shocked me when you said 31 out of 33 now with autism.
Yeah, I haven't heard that. I thought it was, last time I looked, it was 1 in 57.
1 in 56, and up until like 5-6 years ago, it was 1 in 99, and all of a sudden, these conditions are just getting very prevalent, and it's really scary, and you need to make sure that your kids, that these kids are taken care of, and you take care of them in one sense, and you take care of their happiness in another sense.
Yes.
And Mikey, can you remind everybody, where do we find you, and what do you need?
Swimwithheart.org, swimwithheart, it's all spelled out, .org, and then there's a donate button. And also you can, if you want to be on our board or if you have an idea about a way to fundraise that will be effective, please let us know. We'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Great. So if you are a professional fundraiser and you want to help Swim with Heart, come on, help us out here.
Yes.
Help these kids. Help Mikey, who is doing an amazing job, not taking a salary, working for these kids, helping them succeed and helping them with happiness.
Yes.
We'll really appreciate that. Jerry, do you want to say some final words to our audience about special needs trusts?
Just that it's so important to plan early and plan often. Make sure that you get this done. Make sure that you are going to somebody who not only has the experience but the heart. So
yes,
as a dad with a special needs child, I've been through it all the way from the IEPs to the IPPs to the racing to speech therapy and physical therapy and OT and PT and all these different things. So I've been there. I know what you are going through as a parent, so I can relate on that level as well. And since I've been doing this for 26 years, I hope by now we know what we're doing. And, so we'll definitely be glad to help you. We'll waive the consultation fee for you as well. Just mention you heard us here and give us a call at 818-905-6088.
Thank you, guys.
So thank you.
Thank you, Swim with Heart, Mikey Flaherty, and Jerry Kane, the offices of Gerald L. Kane. We will see you back again next week with a very special guest here. I'll keep it a secret. Watch our Facebook page, and you will know by Saturday or Sunday who we have as our guest. And it's really something that's near and dear to the both of us, I think, for next week. Mm-hmm. Mike, thank you again.
Thank you.
So
thanks
much
for
coming here. And we'll see you again next week. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Wrong expo.
Wrong ex. Sorry, guys. That was the wrong one. There we go.